Stanford University. He wrote a book called 316 Bible Texts Illuminated. And in this book, he did an analysis of every chapter 3, verse 16 in the Bible. He goes into how each verse was written, how they contribute to the wholeness of the Bible. And there are several important messages that will be revealed in these verses, and we're going to go through quite a few of them. Is there a divine connection? You know, I personally don't know, but I know that these verses do tell a great job of summarizing a lot of stories that we will see in the Bible. So while we're going to spend just a brief discussion on them today, I encourage you to spend time and read and study verses, read and study the context in which they are written, and do things for yourself. So hopefully we can spark some interest. But one of the things that I found interesting in this whole study was, again, we go back to John 3:16, whether you're Christian or not, is one of the most recognizable scriptures in the entire Bible and in the entire world. As far as when you say John 3:16, people will know what you're talking about, whether they believe it or not. But in going through this study, there are a lot of things that you will see that potentially could open up to a quality discussion to somebody that doesn't understand Jesus or understand the Christian faith, and be able to give them kind of a pathway, maybe some things to read on their own and study and come back and talk about. You know, we've talked about discipleship a lot, and a lot of times we don't know where we fall into that world or how to put ourselves in those situations. But obviously John 3:16 is a great starting point for that. So with that being said, there are, as you mentioned, there are quite a few of the books that do not have a chapter 3 or a chapter 3, verse 16. Okay, so we'll go through the list there. You can see them all. Some of them only have, we hit on this the first week, there's only five of them that that are only a one chapter book. But there are quite a few that don't have a chapter 3, verse 16. So obviously we can't look at that, but I wanted to kind of show you that list here. So in the Old Testament, the very first chapter 3, verse 16 is obviously in Genesis, and it's the punishment of Eve for the sin, the original sin in the garden, which I find, you know, a little bit interesting in the fact that you have to kind of, I find reading through the Bible, you can find that you read the same thing multiple times, and sometimes you hear and you see a different message each time you read something that you may have written before. So as we go through this today, kind of put it in the context of referencing, you know, John 3:16, the message that is there. We talked about it last week, how powerful a scripture that is, and the story, you know, that goes along with Jesus and salvation and why he was here in the first place, you know, which was to save the world, not to destroy the world. And we talked about that last week too. Mm-hmm. But one of the main reasons why was the first sin, okay? So it's kind of an interesting little connection there. In Exodus, the 3:16 in Exodus is God telling Moses to tell the elders of Israel he's heard their cries and is ready to deliver them from Egypt. You know, again, this is a scripture of acknowledgement and deliverance for God's people. In Leviticus, it talks about the description of the food offering to the Lord. Some of those, you know, I have to admit, as I read through things like Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, you kind of get bogged down in all the various little celebrations and laws and things of that sort. But the one in Leviticus is talking about the food offering that is made to the Lord. In Numbers, Numbers 3:16 is talking about how Moses is commanded to count all of the Israelites. And you may say, well, I don't know. How does that really tie in to where we're going here? But in a lot of ways, this is the first time where you're seeing a mass count of people. You're seeing the they're in the desert of Sinai, and you know the Lord is getting it. Yeah.
It's a comment there because I usually blow through numbers, but when you actually sit there and you look at those numbers, it's amazing that they don't do any rounding. Mm-hmm. Which means that God is concerned about everyone that is counted.
Yep. That particular, again, I'm a numbers person. I'm an accountant, so I kind of help myself. But when you read through some of that, it is pretty fascinating that they go down to the individual person. And a lot of them name by name in some cases. In Ruth, you have the description and the conversation between Ruth and Naomi where, if you remember, Naomi told Ruth, hey, here's this person. I want you to go spend time, you know, in his presence and let's just see what happens. Kind of, you know, I'm paraphrasing a lot. But after Ruth meets Boaz and they spend the day together and everything really goes positively for her, she comes back and Naomi's kind of like, what happened, you know. And so this in 3:16 is where Ruth is telling Naomi how the day went with Boaz.
I'm probably going to say it, but Boaz is also a kinsman redeemer.
That's correct. and I remember you having a class on that.
He's a kind of a representation of Jesus.
Way back. Mm-hmm. So a very redeeming story there of how Boaz and Ruth met, but in this particular scripture where she's telling Naomi about it. In 1 Samuel, you have where Eli calls Samuel to ask him and say, what did the Lord ask you? You know, this is the story where the Lord calls to Samuel in his sleep and he gets up and he goes to Eli and Eli's like, I didn't call you. And it goes through that repetition. But it's an example of where Samuel tells Eli, he's just like, the Lord, and I said, here I am. It was a pretty short conversation, but here I am. That particular scripture is a 3:16.
Just another note on that. Moses was there to proclaim the I am.
True.
So here he's proclaiming the I am.
In Proverbs, it says those with wisdom are described as having long life and riches and honor. It's just one of those particular, I really like Proverbs. A lot of times when you just read through there, that's one of those places where you can just find all kinds of things that you never really know you'd come across. And if you read it a year later, you would definitely have a new, you could read it 10 times through and have a different piece jump out at you as you're going through your life. In Ecclesiastes, it's a dream of wickedness, and it's talking about that the Lord will judge all the wicked with the righteous. again, a very connecting way when you talk about why Jesus came. You know, Jesus came for everybody, not just for the righteous and not to destroy the wicked. We talked about that last week. In Jeremiah, this one was really interesting to me. They shall no longer need the Ark of the Covenant, and it will be lost to all memory, and another will never be made again. How many times do we, you think of Indiana Jones and the Lost Ark? But it's a really interesting reference that, to me, lets us know we don't need those symbols of the past. You know, there's lots of stories in the Old Testament about, we talked about it last week when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, where he said, Moses had the staff, the serpent that was raised to help solve the plague of disease that was going on back in those days, and then how he is representative. Jesus was telling Nicodemus that he's representative of that today. So you see a lot of these old artifacts / symbols that when Jesus came, they're ties, but you don't need those anymore. We have the one, the Christ. So I just found that was an interesting scripture there. continuing on, Ezekiel, at the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me, talking about a period of time but yet the Lord will speak to you. We oftentimes will pray for an answer, and sometimes we get an answer that we want. Sometimes we don't get an answer at all in the moment, and it comes later in time. Sometimes we don't get the answer that we expect. But one of the promises that we have is that the Lord does listen to us, and the word of the Lord will come to you if you want to seek it out. You can read through scriptures. You can find all kinds of ways to do that. Daniel, this was another really interesting one to me. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego telling the king that there's no need to present a defense to him in the matter of them not following his command to bow or die. you remember this story back, I think it was a few months ago, Russ had a sermon on Daniel, or he went through several weeks with Daniel, but where the king had built the golden image of himself and was basically commanding everybody to either bow and praise when the music played, or that they would be put to death. And here you have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saying, there's no need for us to do that. So I thought that was interesting there. Joel, and if I get going too fast, it's just because there's a whole lot of these. So I've mentioned before, when we finish up today, I'll send this whole three-week presentation to the email or whatever, and you guys can run with it and spend more time in it if you so like. But I'm going through really fast because there are a lot of scriptures, and then at the end we can talk about anything specific that you want to. In Joel, it says, "The Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shake. But the Lord is a refuge for his people, a stronghold for the people of Israel." Another very powerful scripture that talks about how the Lord is a refuge for his people. And what was John 3:16 talking about? Was the Lord sending his son, his only son, to come and die for his people and for who he sees as all people. But those who believe in him will receive eternal life. Zephaniah, on that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, "Do not fear, O Zion, do not let your hands grow weak." To me, here you have a scripture that talks about that we should not be fearful, but yet we should continue to work, continue to do good things, continue to move forward in our approach towards the Lord. Malachi, very interesting one here. "Then those who revered the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord took note and listened, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who revered the Lord and thought on his name." Again, kind of maybe, potentially foreshadowing of those who believeth in him shall inherit eternal life. Any questions on some of those in the Old Testament before we get to the New Testament? Because again, this whole theme falls along.
When you talked about it, the 7 days, and, mm-hmm. and you kind of mentioned that God hears us and he'll eventually answer our prayer. Those 7 days are kind of reminiscent on Genesis 1, where a day is 1,000 years to God, right? So that kind of tied right in with what you said, I thought. So.
Any other thoughts on those Old Testament scriptures? Like I said, I'm hitting them really fast. Not giving you a whole lot of time to think. I'm sorry. So Matthew 3:16, the baptism of Jesus. This is a pretty important moment in Jesus's beginning of his ministry. But
3:16 isn't baptism.
That's crazy. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove and alighting on him. Again, one of the most powerful moments, the Lord signaling to the world, my son is here. Mm-hmm. Listen to him.
And it's the beginning of his ministry too, mm-hmm. right?
So again, I kind of go back to what I said a little bit ago about how, everybody recognizes John 3:16, but it opens up to talking about other really important things with people when they say, well, who is Jesus? How do we know? So, very powerful moment in Scripture in Matthew 3:16. And Mark 3:16 is the appointing of the 12 apostles and Jesus giving Simon the name Peter. Again, a huge cornerstone in what would come after Jesus, the 12 apostles and those who are following him. Another major moment in Jesus' ministry, describing who were the ones that he selected to spend the time with him here on earth. Another powerful example of...
The one that gave the sermon in Acts 2, right?
So you will see, obviously we have seen the impact that the apostles have after Jesus' death when they take over spreading the news. And Luke, John the Baptist, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong on his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Another huge moment. We talked about this some last week where Jesus was starting his ministry and baptizing, and John's followers were getting upset because the crowd was bigger over there than it was with them. Remember? And this is one of those times where John is like, look, he's the one you need to be focused on. So, again, another really powerful moment in a 3:16 for Jesus' ministry. And John, obviously, the one that we all know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. We talked about that quite a bit last week, but did not want to leave it out of this discussion. In Acts, Peter talks about how a lame man was healed, and he says, and the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. So in this particular one, Peter is explaining to the crowd what healed this man. That it was his faith through Jesus that has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. He's letting people know what power is in the name of Jesus. In Romans, Paul is describing those that have turned away from the Lord, and he says ruin and misery are in their paths. Again, not all of this is a rosy, pep rally. There's reality in things, repercussions from turning away from the Lord. There's power in the name of Jesus, but there's also problems that will become of those who reject the name of Jesus. In 1 Corinthians, do you not know that you are in God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Another really powerful scripture talking about God living in us and that we are His temple. 2 Corinthians, speaking of accepting Christ, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. What exactly is the veil that's being spoken about here? Anybody want to take a shot at that one?
The wedding veil, bride veil? No.
Yep.
Scales.
Just similar to what Russ was speaking on this morning about, you can walk alongside of Jesus and not really realize it's Jesus, and then all of a sudden your eyes are opened. So when one is turning to the Lord, the veil is removed and you will understand Him. Galatians. Promises made to Abraham and to his offspring is not to the many, but points to the one offspring of Jesus Christ. This is kind of a reference where Paul is saying that there was foreshadowing even in the Old Testament of talking about how Jesus was being being promised to those who believe in Him, those who search to Him, and that He would be the one true offspring, the only Son. In Ephesians, I pray that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through His Spirit. So this is being said so that Christ may dwell in our hearts. Again, an interesting scripture here. about being strengthened with having Christ in our heart. Philippians, only let us hold fast to what we have attained. Another scripture that talks about that in our own maturity we may look at the things that we have learned and learn from them. You know, hold fast to the things that we have attained. Obviously, once you get a habit, right? You know, habits are powerful. They are life-changing. And this particular scripture is having us talk about, I mean, understand holding fast to things that we have attained through the maturity in Christ. Oh, goodness. I just kicked myself out. Bear with me. There we go. All right. Colossians, the heart of worship scripture. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your heart, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. Powerful connection to us of what worship should be. Happens to be tied into a 3:16. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Ties in with that whole, we're a temple, He lives in us.
Second Thessalonians, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in all ways. The Lord be with you all. Again, having peace in God is a very comforting thing to know that he will give us peace at all times and all ways. You hear that scripture, you know, spoken from time to time. You know, here is one that's really powerful in 1 Timothy. It's a description of Jesus talking about, without any doubt, the mystery of our religion is great. He was revealed in the flesh. He was vindicated in spirit. He was seen by angels. He was proclaimed among the Gentiles and believed in throughout the world and then taken up in glory. Again, if you're trying to talk to somebody about who Jesus was, you know, who's read 3:16, John 3:16, again, just taking them through this little journey gives you a lot of insights into Jesus and who he was and what he came for. But this one, to me, is a great description of Jesus himself. 2 Timothy, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Another powerful scripture that is a tenet in our faith, that all scripture is inspired by God. Again, if you're teaching with someone, you're trying to teach them about Jesus and why these passages and why the Bible is so important. You know, again, tying right here into a 3:16 is all scripture is inspired by God.
Oh. I remember Hank Hanegraaff used that as his Bible answer.
In Hebrews, it's talking about to the leaders of Israel, and it says, now who were they who heard and yet were rebellious? Was it not all of those who left Egypt under the leadership of Moses? And it's kind of referring back to, you know, this is, it's kind of referring back to what, you know, the leaders of Israel were always questioning things that were going on back in the Exodus time. That, you know, they would hear, well, I mean, how many times did they cry out, you know, this isn't fair, or this isn't the way it is. We want to go back to Egypt. You know, we don't believe this is the way. In James, for where there is envy and self-ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. It's pretty important scripture that we have heard several times, talking about how being envious and having your own self-ambitions lead to disorder. You know, there will always be disorder and wickedness where you speak of envy and self-ambition. The true ambition should be to follow Jesus and his teachings. 1 Peter, yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame.
This one follows up the apologetic mantra, which is always have an answer in your heart for the hope that you have in Jesus, right?
Similar to turn the other cheek. But this is a key scripture to those of us who, you know, we're not always treated kindly for following Jesus. Jesus was not treated kindly for his message. You know, a lot of times when you're in your day-to-day life, You know, we look for, we want people to like us. We want people to, you know, see us in a certain positive manner. Well, if we're truly following Jesus, there are going to be people that hate us. I mean, that's just the fact. That's just the fact. And so this is a good scripture that says, yet do what we do with gentleness and reverence, and keeping our conscience clear, so that when someone does abuse or malign us, they will be judged in their own manner and not something that we have to do. In 2 Peter, talking about false teaching, says, speaking of this as he does in all letters, there are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable will twist to their own destruction, as they do with other scriptures. You know, again, we know, and as you study through the Bible, there are a lot of false teaching that is talked about, especially in Paul's writing, where people have come forth and are teaching things contradictory or in their own fashion, as opposed to the true message of Jesus. So it's talking about here, it's just an example of that there will be false teaching out there, that it's important that we understand the scriptures. It's important that we are able to spend time in it so that we can challenge anything that is brought before us.
Kind of goes back to the First Timothy thing you said, where all scripture is God breathed and scripture interprets scripture.
Right. 1 John, not to be confused with John 3:16, but 1 John 3:16. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. Another really powerful tie-in when you think about it. You know, that Jesus came to die for our sins, that those who believe may have eternal life, and now he's turning around and saying to us that true love is that Jesus laid his life for us and that we ought to do the same for one another.
We're supposed to be like Jesus.
But you have to remember the chapters and verses didn't come in back then. You know, this is why this is all so fascinating, is how the story has just evolved. Is to me, again, and I'm not trying to sit up here and say that when Scripture was written, every 3:16 was a significant moment. I'm not trying to say that. I'm just trying to say that you can't deny that when you read through all of these, there is a theme that focuses on the story of Jesus and what is said in John 3:16. Now, the last one is a caution to us, and it says, so because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. It's a very important scripture that talks about, you know, don't make the mistake of just trying to ride the coattails through life. It's talking about be hot for the Lord. You know, be passionate about what you do. Don't just be, it's okay. I'm okay. I'm here. You know, I'm a Christian, but I'm here. I mean, the importance to me and the connection to all of this through John 3:16, this 3:16 study with this particular scripture is Jesus, God gave his only Son to come and die for us so that we might believe in him and have eternal life. It's not something we sit on. It's not something to be lukewarm about. It's not something to be cold about. It's something to spread the message about. So it's no mystery to me that this kind of coincides with that. And it's not something we just need to go through life and not try to explain to people. So again, going back to the whole discipleship side of 3:16 and being able to talk about it, what better way to be able to talk to somebody about Jesus who understands that scripture than to say, hey, let me show you some of the others here, you know, and some of the other important tenets of the faith, and then you spend time and study on it, and if you have questions, you come back and talk to me. But you're not trying to dominate somebody's life. You're not trying to drive them one way or the other. You're just trying to expose them to Jesus and then let Jesus do the rest. Okay? So, thoughts. We got a couple minutes here before we get to announcements and wrap up. Just thinking about this whole study in its entirety for those of you who have been here for the 3 weeks or any of the single sessions. It's mainly what I wanted just to generate thought in your mind, to generate something that you may be able to go and do some study on. But is there anything that stands out in it to you that you may have gotten of interest, of value, of something that sparked? Because that's kind of what I was really trying to get at, is just to get people thinking about John 3:16. It was pretty interesting, just to hear that. And those of you who weren't here that particular week, we were talking about how the chapters and verses came together, and we had a couple of videos that gave some insights into some things that we really hadn't thought about, going back to the actual original text. But that will be part of those links are in this, so when I send it out, if you missed it, you can go back and look at it on your own. But yes, that's right. Anything else? All right. Well, to wrap up, is there anybody that wants to just reread John 3:16 for us so we can sum it all up and what this is all about? Yeah. Well, why don't we all say it together? We know it. Everybody good with that? All right. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him shall perish, but have eternal life.
John 3:16.
Very powerful scripture. Again, focal point to me of what this is all about. I hope that you will take what we've talked about and maybe do some studying on your own. And if you have any other questions, feel free to come talk to me. But I have enjoyed being here and spending time with you and going through this. So.
You've done a great job.
Joey?
Big Joey? Sweet Joey, see you.
Wake up. Answering security.
Big Joey.
I'm probably fine without it. And the Lord spoke, and everyone heard. All right, couple of quick things. Announcements next, no, not next. 2 weeks from yesterday. 2 weeks from yesterday, right, Kimberly? And I'm saying that Kimberly's already doing this before I even talked about it. 2 weeks from yesterday, we have the fundraising dinner at Valley View. Going to be fun. It's going to be an exciting time, Lynn. Not just fun, it's going to be exciting. You're going to be there, right?
I'll be there.
Exciting.
We almost have 100,
so if you're coming, please let us know. Yeah, if you're coming, let Lynn or Kimberly or somebody know so that we can make sure we have enough food, make sure we buy enough packages of hot dogs. And I'm sure there's other stuff, but...
better than hot dogs.
Yeah. We need to donate. If you can donate money, you can donate stuff for a silent auction. And is there a live auction?
It's a silent auction, and then just more prizes.
Okay. Because actually, if you have a live auction, I know a guy. But they have, and there's some sheets. I don't know if there's any more of these sheets over there, but there's some suggestions as to items you can donate or make or whatever. Doors open at 5:30, and that is the 30th, April 30th. So make plans to be there. They've done some work on the body of water, lake, pond. It's a lake. It's considered a lake. Okay. Reservoir. They've done some work on that, which is really exciting. I'm excited to go out there just to see that. The plans are also to have a fountain in the middle of it, which would help aerate the water and keep the lake up, and also just really pretty. So that's that. Lynn, who's teaching next week? Well, that's why it's not written down anywhere. Lynn's teaching next week. So make plans to attend. Make plans to attend church next week. That's right. It's going to be on the Lord's Supper. It's going to be on the Lord's Supper. Yeah. Okay. All right. So prayer request.
Our son is having second neck surgery
Kobe. Okay. Okay. Muriel?
My mom had the first of probably three. She's of these surgeries on her vertebrae. She had it Tuesday. She is improving, but not as quickly as she had hoped. And she's got three broken ones. They were hoping this one would be enough to get her back mobile, but she is probably going to need another one. So we're improving, but just keep her in your prayers.
That is tough.
She's very honoring. So I get it honest. She's just not, and if she's not happy, then no one else is. So it's just tough on everybody, especially my dad. I'm sure he's there.
Right. Right. Yeah, that is tough. So she's got more than likely two more surgeries.
At least
this one coming up, and then probably another one. And how old is she?
She is 67.
Okay. All right.
Almost 67. 77. She's 19 years older than me. Sorry.
Well, I mean, you know, if you're gonna make up a number, you might as well. Yeah, she's 17 years older than me. She's 48. Yeah.
Yes, she is 77.
Okay. All right. Susan, you have an update on your friends? Sandy Blackwell had a prayer request for a friend of hers that passed away last week, and they're not here for an update, so we just keep that family in our prayers. I have a couple. Muriel, just talking about her mom. Shannon is in Florida this week with her mom and sister and her mom's sister and the cousin. So it's Shannon's mom, sister, aunt, and cousin are all in Florida enjoying some time. But her mom's got Alzheimer's, and she's okay when she's in her own environment, when she take her out of her environment. Our son Jonathan used to sleepwalk. When he go over somebody's house, that's when it was worse. So it's pretty bad for, Shannon just talked to me this morning and said her mom got up at 2 o'clock in the morning and refused to go back to sleep. And so Shannon had to deal with her, and has been dealing with her since 2 o'clock this morning. So it's been a little tough on her, and I think everybody's starting to see how bad that kind of is. So I think that's pretty rough on her. I have a friend who, changing topics now, I have a friend who I'm going over their house this afternoon, mainly for a real estate transaction, but the mother called me last week, and she's probably 65, 70, something like that. But her son, who's been dealing with some drug addictions, she called me and just was bawling, crying, saying her son, she found her son dead in their house. So So that's been really tough. And she's called me a couple of times, and this past week, and I think that was Wednesday when she found him. So that was pretty tough. And her name is Belinda Hearn, and she lives in Madison, and Hispanic, and speaks very good English and all that, but it just very it's still with an accent. It's very hard to understand and to try to, you know, I mean, especially when somebody's crying, it's hard to understand anybody when somebody's trying to cry. But it's been a struggle for her, and so definitely keep that family in your prayers. Anybody else have anything?
Milton.
I was going to say that just a second ago, and got Milton's mom's passed away. Mom passed away. Right. Keep Milton's family in your prayers, and then Sheila Brackeen. She passed away, and then keep Paula and everybody else in the family. Oh, wow. Okay.
The work day that is a success.
Do what?
The work day.
Work day is Saturday. Is Saturday the 30th as well, so you can clean up. You can come to church, clean up, and then go have a good meal.
You can even get a nap.
There might be time for a nap. There might be time for a nap. If not, it is a silent auction. If not, it is a silent auction, so feel free to take a nap when you get there. I think that's all I've got. Jonathan is going to say a prayer for us, and I hope you're not wanting any notes. You might can make it general because you can't read anything that I've written down. That's right. I mean, you can try. Okay.
Thank you for this opportunity this morning that we've had to come together on Easter Sunday.